Hey, what's up, Cyhawk podcast? We're on location today, and we are at the Reclaimed Rails Brewery in Bondurant. I love these guys. It's like my second home.
And we're drinking beer.
What are you guys drinking? I got to go do radio, so I probably shouldn't get drunk before I go on the air. I will indeed do that later.
So I have protocol when I come to any place like this where they brew their own. They say, what do you want? And I, of course, have no idea because I've never been here before. And then they say, what do you like to drink? I said, Bud Light, and give me something similar to that. And that's what they do. But yet, it's never actually similar to Bud Light. This tastes nothing like Bud Light.
So, well, I mean, it is.
I mean, it might be the brewery.
Yeah, it's because it's way better.
Well, yeah. Well, reserve judgment on that, but, you know.
Hey, pull that mic closer to your mouth.
It tastes good.
Put it in front of your mouth.
You're a simple man. You like your whole milk. You like your Bud Light. I mean, you don't really stray too far on what you eat.
I don't need to. I don't need to
know what you like.
The exotics.
Before I have to leave, Mark, are you still predicting Iowa State goes to a bowl game?
No. Okay. No, in fact, we don't even have a word of the week because there's no point.
You're giving up after one game.
Yes. They're not going to win six games this year. Heck no. They needed that one. That was, for sure they needed that one. So, no. No.
That's a good take on your part.
What if they go to Kinnick and they win?
Then I'll bring back a word of the week probably the following. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that would be when they weren't supposed to win to get to six.
Get back in the even column there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So, Gray, you should recap our picks last week and who won and who lost.
Charter, you won. That's, I think, why you wanted to bring it up, I'm guessing. You went 2-1?
That's correct.
Lost the Notre Dame game. You were very confident in that Notre Dame game because you kept texting throughout the game.
I was.
But Texas took him. You went 2-1. Williams and I both were pretty pathetic, 1-2. I won the West Virginia game. He won the Alabama game. And I got him by 1 point on the tiebreaker.
It was so close. So close. So I know a lot of people are going to be wondering, what is Williams drinking this week? Because we do have a bet. And as men of honor, you got to do the bet.
You have to do the bet. Yeah.
And the rules were basically anything that's not poisonous, you have to drink. So I asked several people. So here's the caveat. Williams is not drinking anything this week. Because we're on location and we're giving them a break, and it won't look too great here at this this lovely brewery. But I asked several people.
These are my friends. We have to protect the brand.
Exactly. So, but honestly, I asked several people, what should I make Williams drink? And without any suggestion from me, several people told me that Chris should be made to drink breast milk.
That's fine. I've drank breast milk before.
But have you ever drank my wife's?
I don't care. It's the same thing.
We'll see. So next week,
I'll
tune
drink
in
Katie's breast milk.
Because that's what's happening.
Fine.
And we will periscope you drinking Katie's breast milk.
Fine. I don't care.
What boob are you getting it from? Left, right?
Remember, if you lose next week, I know what I have
Your
to do.
Your wife's not pregnant.
Yeah, but I could have my wife pee.
No, we already said.
No urine, no poo-poo.
Fine. I don't care. I'll drink her breast milk. Whatever.
He seems a little pissed off about this.
No, I'm not.
I
will drink the breast milk.
I think we'll give Chris the benefit of the doubt here. He has had a long week. RVTV.
Dude, yeah.
He's not exactly relaxed as record this.
Because I'm partly in charge of this stop at Bondurant. I still have to do radio. I've got three pieces on Cyclone Fanatic that are just sitting there waiting for me to edit. Do you ever feel like in my wife's mad at me because I've been gone all week, where you feel like you're giving everything half?
Yeah.
And you just get really stressed out because that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's called my marriage.
So how was RVTV as far as driving around after Iowa State lost to you and I last week?
Fine.
No negativity? You didn't see any of that around?
No, there is, but it doesn't really bother me. I mean, fans are fans. They're going to be happy when they win and upset when they lose.
So what's worse, doing a call-in show afterwards with Whitfer after we lose to you and I, or going around RVTV after we lose to you and I?
Oh, I'd love RVTV. Honestly, the call-in show wasn't that bad either. I have a totally different mindset toward everything anymore.
Yeah.
Ever since I had my daughter. I used to –
Nothing matters.
No, I used to get so – I mean, I want Iowa State to win badly. I'm very passionate about it, but I'm not going to – I didn't lose sleep Saturday night.
The problem with this podcast is we're so far removed from the game. Actually, talking about a past game doesn't make a lot of sense. But
yeah.
It's probably a good thing.
But were you just disappointed?
Massively disappointed. It was embarrassing.
I mean, I hate to oversimplify it, but
it was an embarrassing effort, I thought.
The team didn't,
all the way around.
The team felt no different than the team from last year, and that's what I was hoping I would see. I mean, normally don't agree with me, but did it feel like last year's team?
It felt exactly like last year's team. I'm shocked that it was like last year's team because they played a different song at the beginning, and I thought that was going to be the
complete
difference.
They should have been more fired up.
Yeah, I thought they were going to come out with their
hair on fire. They played another stupid song. They should have just kept Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, Williams,
the same
Williams
damn thing.
Williams is not a fan of the new intro at all.
The intro was exactly the same. There was no, I was expecting like this crazy environment. It was so blah.
I actually think it was worse.
It was so blah.
But I don't understand.
At least with the Rhodes one, it like started and you watched him walking. There was a buildup. Like that one was honestly like it was so flat.
It was flat.
I bet they might tweak it a little bit moving forward. But they got killed on social media. I tweeted, when I got into the stadium, I got in there with my son and we sat down. We were really early and they were warming up on the field doing stretches. And the first thing I noticed was, and I was pumped about it, they were playing a little Phil Collins In the Air Tonight, which has one of the best drum solos out there. But they're playing that, right? And they're blasting it. I'm like, good, they jacked the sound up this year, right?
And then it got quiet.
And the intro was quiet.
I know, I hear
you. Turn it up. Like, if you're going to have an intro of any type, blare it.
I agree.
You know?
And, like, I agree with what William said. I thought it was cool when you could see the team walking down the tunnel. It built, like, a little bit of, like, anticipation.
Yeah.
Here they come.
Yeah, I didn't like the no tunnel thing. No. I didn't like that at all. Bring back the tunnel.
But everything else did remind me of last year, and it really comes back to attention to detail. Iowa State is one of those teams that they do the little things really poorly, and those lose you football games. Everyone likes to say, like, the four turnovers, right? Yeah. Oh, Iowa State lost because of four turnovers. Well, we had one turnover with 6 minutes to go in that game, and we're still only beating you and I by 1 point.
Yeah.
So the turnovers, while they killed us at the end, the reason it was even close, remotely close in that game, was like a stupid penalties.
Lots of them.
And just dumb mistakes, missed assignments here or there. And that was the difference. I mean, yeah, the turnovers killed us at the end, but that game at that point was 6 minutes to go. Iowa State should have been up two scores.
Did you and I have a single holding call in that game, an offensive holding call?
Oh, geez. Not that I can recall.
I don't recall one, but you always feel like it's lopsided when one team has several and the other team has none.
I think they had one shot block maybe early in the game.
Yeah.
But that was it. Yeah. So the penalties were – there was a big difference. And there's a couple holdings that you go back and look at, and I didn't necessarily see unless they called the wrong number, which, you know, refs can do from time to time. But at the end, it shouldn't have mattered. It really just shouldn't have mattered.
I agree.
So
can I get my picks in because I got to leave here soon?
Yeah. Who you got, Williams?
Okay, I'm working on these right now.
Charter, do you want to start off?
No, I'm good.
All right. Let him go.
Let me take Oklahoma State minus 21 at home against Central Michigan.
Okay.
Down go the Chippewas.
Okay.
They played last year. I think Okie State won by about 11.
It was at Central Michigan.
At Central Michigan, yep, I agree.
Gundy's got the scouting report now, fellas.
All right.
Let's go with... I want Washington State at plus 10.5 at Boise.
I like that play. I do.
Yeah.
Outright upset or just keeping it close?
Potentially, but they'll keep it close, I think.
And they just lost to Eastern Washington, I think, last week.
What a garbage chunk of football games.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is one of the worst weeks I can remember in college football, honestly.
There's about three or four games I'm like, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Utah, BYU, Tennessee, Virginia Tech. There's a couple decent ones.
It's a letdown after that great week one, though.
Next week's really good, though. Next week gets nuts again. It's Ohio State, Oklahoma. You get, like, Nebraska, Oregon. There's a bunch of really good ones next week.
Yep. Are you telling me you're not looking forward to Ohio, Kansas?
I am, actually, just because a guy I know may have bet the over at 1.5 for Kansas season win total.
Really? That seems like a good bet by that guy.
Well, I mean.
It was 1.5.
Yes.
Wow.
What do you get that bet at? Who puts lines like that out?
I mean, who would – town
called Vegas.
Who would be a degenerate enough to actually bet on something?
I have no idea,
my
man.
God.
I have no idea.
Mark Charter.
I don't like those season bets. It takes too long to get paid.
Okay, my third pick. I'm going to say – here's my guess. I'm going to guess that the Tennessee struggling with App State was a bit of a fluke, and I'm going to take them at minus 11 to beat Virginia Tech.
I like that one as well.
And Bristol Motor Speedway, it's going to be insane crowd. Like, I'm going to roll
100-something thousand.
150,000 or something. It's going to set a college football record.
By a long ways, I would assume.
Give me your final score prediction for Iowa State, Iowa.
I would take Iowa to cover.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Iowa State's lying. Guys, years that Iowa's really good, which, I mean, by their standards, they're really good this year.
Yeah.
They have a really good quarterback. On the road, like the whole home, like Iowa State's never won in Iowa City when they're ranked. The trends go against Iowa State. Now, could I see Iowa State? I think they'll improve on the offensive line. Getting good Jones will help because it moves Fett back inside. You'll see an improvement there. And I'm not crazy about Iowa's defensive line either. I mean, I think inside they're pretty good. They're really good. But those outside guys really aren't proven at this level yet, so we'll see. I assume they'll be good, though. They have elite linebackers and a pretty good secondary. But I just don't think that Iowa State can protect Lanning adequately enough, and I don't think the run game's really there, which is a major concern for me. Having said that, I do think Iowa State's defense can play pretty well against that offense, though.
I'm hoping Kane Sealy look a little bit better. I think that's a better fit for him than Chase and Bailey around.
Kane Sealy's a Big Ten type linebacker. Yeah. He's not throwing him in the
even for Big Ten standards, he's still, I think, a little slow.
No, he is, but he would fit better in that league than he does chasing Aaron Bailey around.
A traditional 4-3 running, stopping the run.
This game is going to be telling, and I'm not going to say Iowa State's going to win because I don't believe that. I don't think they will win, but I think you'll learn a little bit about this coaching staff and potentially how good they are by how many changes we see based on that first week loss.
I think it's a big game, not win or lose, for the staff, just to kind of get fans to kind of calm down a little bit and be like, okay, we are still moving in the right direction despite what we saw against you.
I'll take Iowa 30-13.
43 points again for you.
Oh, is that what I picked last week?
Yeah.
That's his number.
That's funny because I'm going to have 27-17, and I had 44 last week as well. So
we're 27. So we're pretty close on our prediction.
Close, yeah.
I just think of, I don't know, man, like that.
But, you know,
certain things like you can do as a coach to help, but like, I just don't think they're lying. Like, I don't know what they can do. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, they can try to throw the ball to Lazard a lot more.
There are a couple schematic things they can do. I think they can do a little bit more quick hitters with Warren rather than that read option.
Yeah,
and just man up on guys.
Freaking read option. Like, I thought we were done with that. When I saw that the other night, I freaked out.
Lanning's a decent enough runner. He's strong, but do you really care to give him 10 carries? Because are the 10 carries going to be big enough for Iowa State? Is he going to go out and get 10 carries for 50 yards? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think you man up and you just try to see, hey, even if one guy comes through, Mike Warren, your job is to make that one guy miss. I'd much rather see us man up on a guy.
I got to go, but here's what you got to do.
Let's see it.
I'm going to teach you how to run the Focast.
Oh, man, this is probably my one shining moment.
So while they're doing this, we got a pinch hitter coming. Ross is coming in, I believe.
Just make sure that you don't let the computer die.
Okay.
Or go to sleep. And then when you're done, hit that little square box.
Yep. All right.
And then
we're still going live right now, right?
Yeah.
Then we are literally learning how to do this.
It'll ask to save and just hit save and put a name on it.
So pretty much when I'm done, I just hit square.
Yep.
Gotcha. I can do that.
All right.
Cool. See you, buddy.
I know that what all these Cyclone fans that listen to the podcast want is a Hawk opinion, but if Ross gets here soon, which I believe he is, we do want to get him on here for a few minutes and see his take on the game because, hey, Ross is honest. I think he'll tell us exactly what he feels.
Yeah, no, I think he will too. You know, we sit here, and all three of us are picking Iowa to win, obviously, and Chris seemed a little bit more negative than I was expecting to be. But come Saturday night, if Iowa State wins this game, will you really be that surprised? I mean, honestly. Like, I'm not predicting to win. I don't think they will, but I would not be that surprised.
No, I won't, because the stat of the week that I saw and heard was the last time that the Iowa Hawks were favored by more than two touchdowns, which they are in this game, Iowa State won those games outright. We're not talking about a cover. They won them. So there's a history in this series of strange things happening. There's a history lately of Iowa State going over there and playing much better than people think they're going to play. Now, those were different coaches, so we don't know what's going to happen here. But I can very easily see, and I'll probably put some money behind this, that Iowa State will cover. Now, do I think they're going to win? No, because they looked lousy the other day. But if they change their play calling, if they get Lazard involved, and when I say get Lazard involved, I mean to the tune of, like, you're throwing him the ball 15 times. I'm not exaggerating either. He's the best player out there. Utilize him. Give him a chance to make catches. And typically good things happen, especially if he's in one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
He can go get the ball. I don't see anything wrong with that strategy at all.
No, I don't either. He's such a big frame, too, that I think you can just – a lot of sit-down routes for him, too. Throwing deep is obviously nice, and you got to do it to keep the defense, you know, honest. But he can box out a guy. He's so big. It's hard for a defensive back guy to get around him. That's what I wish I would have seen more in those third and eight plays. We're just 10, 11-yard curl routes from him.
Yep.
All day.
Yep. Hey, the goal's first downs, man. A 10-yard route, I'm fine with that.
It drove me crazy. Third and eight against him, you and I guy was playing 10 yards off. And I'm like, they're going to check down to him right here. He's going to just do a little curl route. He kept running the fly. We threw a fade to him. Probably could have been pass interference. They didn't call it.
Yep.
I thought Lazard made kind of an iffy effort on the play, to be honest with you, to go get the ball.
Yep.
But that drives me crazy. Would 40 yards be great there? Sure. But get the first down, live to see another play, and then just try to get down the field and score.
Unless
be smart.
Unless you've got a certain matchup deep balls are much better on first and second down.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to get 6 yards, focus on the 7-yard route and keep the ball and move the chains. Too many coaches call dumb plays in that situation. The goal, yeah, ultimately the goal is to score a touchdown, but the goal there is 6 yards, seven well, yards, whatever you, know, you need to do.
If you're playing a team, like a lot of times we see Oklahoma play us or Baylor play us, they play us man up on the, and they're pressing us, right? They're pressing the covers onto the wide receivers. I have no problem on 3rd and 8 there throwing a fade pass to them. I completely understand that because more than likely the little hook or curl is not going to be there. Against you and I, it was there. Take the first down, move on for the next play.
I don't disagree. All right, I'm going to rock some picks here.
What do you got?
I think you agreed with all of Williams' picks, didn't you?
Nah, Okie State one I didn't love. I mean, at 21, I see that maybe being a push. I'd stay away from that one. I like the Wazoo and the Tennessee one, though.
All right, so a couple of bigger numbers here, but I think they're going to take a whooping out this week after a very frustrating week one. I'm going to take the Oklahoma Sooners.
Oh, you?
Minus 47 against Louisiana Monroe. I think we see the Oklahoma come out that's pissed off. And can they? Are they 7 touchdowns better than this team? Yeah, I think that they are. So no question they're going to win the game. It'll be one where they only win by 42 or 35, maybe.
I'm going to help you out here. I see they're at 46.5 right now.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that hook.
That's a big one right there, yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Sooners big. Sticking in, actually, not by design, but all my games are Big 12 games this week. The excuse me. The next one was going to be, I see points. I'm going to go Baylor SMU over 76 points. Baylor's going to win. They're going to smoke them. But can SMU maybe score 21? Maybe. And that's what I'm banking on. So over 76 points in that game.
Over 76. Kev?
I like that number. Last one, we just talked about it. Not a huge shock. And I'm just, you know, to make the fans happy out there, I'm going to take the Clones plus 15.5.
I love it.
I'm going to take them. I'm willing to drink some breast milk if I'm wrong or something. I don't know what Williams
is. So people that are listening and probably sitting here thinking, too, these guys never do what they say they're going to do, the hot dogs.
Yeah.
Williams will be drinking his breast milk next week. It is going to happen in Charterhouse, in your office.
Well, yeah, assuming that the wife has produced a fresh supply. Yeah.
Well, you have some in the freezer, right? You got some stocked up?
I'm sure we do. I'm sure we do. So, and he said, fine, guys, whatever, I'll drink it. He said it in a very grumpy way, but, you know.
I got that's at plus 15 right now, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to.
Now, here's the real question. If you had lost last week, would you be singing the same tune? Because you're pro breast milk for Williams to drink it. You're like, dude, make him drink it.
Absolutely not. I would not. I would be saying, no, I'm not. That's disgusting.
Yeah, but would you drink it? We just talked about honor and how you got to do it, man. You got to remember that's only week one of the bet. There's a lot of weeks to go still.
I hope to never find out.
We should have a penalty clause in here for anybody that's like, I can't do it, man.
We should.
There should be something else that's worse that they have to do.
I agree. What's a prediction on the score? You're taking Iowa State plus 15?
I'm taking Iowa State plus 15, so I don't think the game gets too out of hand. I'm going to call, you know, let's call a 27-20, 47.
47, okay. So you're 47. I said 27-17. It's 44, and Williams was at, I think, 33-10.
Nobody's predicting a blowout then with those points.
Which leads me to my pick, and I picked it last year, and I pick it every year. The under for the Iowa State-Iowa hits every year unless you go to triple overtime.
What is the number? I don't even know.
53.5.
That seems high.
I'm taking the under. I love the under.
That's probably a smart pick.
The under and me are friends on this one. So I will take the Iowa State Iowa under. That's my first pick of the week. Give me a second here. I have to actually pull my picks back up.
That was I know the last time we went there. Was it the last time we went there was 9-6? Was that the 9-6 game?
No, so last time we beat them 20-17 there, and the last time we pulled that field goal. Before that was 9-6.
So that was only 37 points. Yep. 9-6 is 15 points.
The year before was 35-7, so it was 42. That was the under as well.
I wonder what's setting it so high, though. Because Vegas looks at history of these matchups. That's weird.
The only game I think that's gone over is the 44-41. That was triple overtime.
Triple overtime.
You know, so, and I think before that, maybe 48 points in regulation or something like that.
Okay.
So, all right. That is one that I really like. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's one I'm going to take. This team lost a heartbreaker. They're back at home now in a must-win game. They're playing a South Carolina team that I think they got a big win the first game, but they just can't score.
Yep.
I like Mississippi State a lot at home to rebound.
Okay.
Win by more than a touchdown. It's -7 right now.
Okay.
I wish I could get it at 6.5, to be honest with you. But I'll
Ross Peterson has arrived in the building. I see him over there.
There's celebrities left and right in here. We got Ross Peterson. We got Keith Murphy.
I would yell at them, but I'm wearing a microphone right now, and everybody would cringe.
Everyone would look at you like you're weird.
Yeah.
Kep.
So that's pick two.
And another one here. I like myself Ball State at Indiana, plus 17. Indiana won. They ended up winning by a large margin last game, but it was a really close game down the stretch, and they kind of blew it open there towards the end. I don't think they're good enough to beat Ball State by more than 17 points.
Indiana's one of those teams that scores points, though.
Yeah, they give up points. I see this as being like a 38-35 game, and they hold on late to win. I like Ball State. Give me the points.
I don't hate the pick, but teams like Ball State, it just seems like they – who the hell knows, you know?
You know, I agree. But I'm sitting here looking. Last week I went heavy on the favorites, and I got killed, right? I like Wyoming plus 25 against Nebraska. They had a big win. They beat Northern Illinois at home. Northern Illinois is a good program.
I never saw the score, ironically. Speaking of Nebraska, did they cover last week?
They beat Fresno like by almost 30, didn't they?
So that had to be a cover.
I think that's what they beat them pretty good, but I don't think Fresno's expected to be a good team by any means.
By the way, Nebraska gets a shout out. Probably the only one I'll ever give Nebraska. The whole deal they did with their punter.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool, man. That was a good moment.
That was pretty cool.
Sending out the formation without the punter out there. Took the delay a game. That was a good moment. So Ross is in the building. I think he's trying to get a beer here.
I'm getting low on my beer here, and I fully plan on having a second one. It's Friday, you know.
You're wearing a shirt that's Robin Egg Blue.
Yeah, you guys called this the Dew shirt last time I wore it.
Did you ever have the ice cream? It was a Baskin Robbins flavor called Daiquiri Ice. Did you ever have that flavor?
No, and you're gonna think I'm crazy for saying this, but I've never been a big ice cream fan.
Ever?
I'm starting to get there a little bit more where I will eat it and kind of enjoy it, but there's never been a time in my life where I say, man, I really want some ice cream.
So Daiquiri Ice was this flavor of Baskin-Robbins, and the color of Daiquiri Ice reminds me a little bit of that shirt you're wearing. It was kind of a minty – it almost tasted like frostbite on the tongue. Hard to describe. I mean, it's ice cream, so it was cold, but it seemed colder than normal ice cream. Someone out there has had Daiquiri Ice. They know exactly what I'm saying.
Well, did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. For sure. What's your favorite type of ice cream, even though you said you don't like ice cream?
You know, I like Blizzards, you know, so if we go to, like, Dairy Queen, I like to get the chocolate chip cookie dough. Ross Peterson in the house. Pull up a seat here, man. Grab the headset. You got your beer, so you're good to go.
I think we're going to get a strong Hawkeye take here. That's what we're looking for.
You know what I respect most about Ross? We asked Chris, do you want a beer? Chris is like, no, man, I got a radio show to do later. Ross comes right up here. He's got
Ross
a beer.
Is
He's
drinking
good to
like
go.
A pro.
I respect it.
What's up, Ross Peterson?
How you doing, fellas? Thanks for inviting me back.
How are you doing,
man? I love doing
man?
This podcast with you guys. This is fun.
So you just had a baby girl.
Yeah, man.
How's life?
Oh, you know this.
Yeah.
Congrats,
thanks,
buddy.
I appreciate
Congrats.
That. Yeah. Thank you.
How many days ago?
1 week, man.
One week.
Week old.
What's what's her name?
Audrey.
Audrey.
Audrey Jean. So probably AJ.
Did you have a battle over the name, or was it?
No. So Audrey is my wife's grandma's first name, and
yep.
I loved her. She was an amazing woman. And then Jean is my mom's name, and, of course, I think the world of my mom, like most guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it just kind of fit. So Audrey Jean, and my mom is very, very involved in my kids' lives, and so that,
yep.
That made a lot of sense.
Is your mom mad that she got put in the middle name rather than the first name?
No, I don't think so. And Aaron's mom was kind of jokingly mad about, because her name's Jennifer, so it was like, well, where's the Jennifer in the name?
Well, you said we got another one coming here in a little bit.
So. Well, Aaron's got like five sisters, so I just passed that off on them. One of you guys can handle that. Yeah, you guys go after that.
So has it been a hectic week? New baby plus RVTV? And
a lot of driving.
Yeah.
Because I've been going home every night. You know, my plan was, I was going to stay in Albia last night, Mark, and the dad thing kind of started to set in about 7:15, and I always talk really highly about Chris, and I mean it, but we were hanging out at the Albia Brewing Company, and I had a porter, which sucked.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of lamenting, like, man, I'm down here having a crappy beer, and my wife's at home trying to hang out with a six-year-old
yep.
and a week-old baby. And
yep.
I think Chris kind of read it on my face. He's like, you all right? And I said, no, man, I'm regretting my decision to be here tonight.
Yep.
And that was 7:15. He's like, man, if you're regretting it right now, you're going to really be regretting it at about 8:30. You need to go right away.
Yeah.
So I took off last night and came back home. And
you're a lot nicer than I am. I would have been like, well, you know, when I'm here, I might as well have four or five ten beers.
If it had been good beers, it probably might have been a different story, to be honest.
A ringing endorsement for this place at all.
Ross is a responsible parent.
I have heard great things about Albia Brewing Company, so I don't want to
Just don't get the
crap
porter
on them. But I did. Yeah, I'm not a porter guy. I shouldn't have got it anyway. This, we're at Reclaimed Rails. This pale stout is, I mean, I'm only a couple sips in, but it's a very good beer. It's one of the best beers I've had
in Iowa.
It's
tickling your fancy.
It's very, very good.
I'm about to try that next.
So let me ask you a Hawkeye clone question, but let me ask you from the angle, because you're pro Hawk, obviously. But
yeah.
How does Iowa State, because I think that Iowa's going to win the game. Everybody here thinks that's going to happen based on several factors. But the spread is 15.5 points.
Yeah.
How specifically does Iowa State keep it within the number tomorrow? What do they need to do?
Man, I hate to – I'm not trying to be like too pessimistic or pump up Iowa State. I would definitely put my money on Iowa State in this.
Really?
Absolutely. I'd take Iowa State. I think that this is going to be a really close game. I could see this being like a, you know, 10-7, 17-10, something like that. I don't think this game gets out of hand at all. You know, there's a couple of things here. I was just listening to Murph and Andy, and so some of these things are just fresh in my brain. So just kind of handle my stream of consciousness. I'm sorry. A lot of people are talking about the rushing yards last week, that you and I put up a ton of rushing yards, and Iowa obviously has a better offensive line. And more accomplished running backs. It's two totally different running games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that Iowa State is more suited to stop a pro-style type, but I think they are, that more traditional style of running of rushing attack. And I don't think defense is something I would worry about if I were a Cyclone fan. I think that the Iowa State defense can play with this Iowa offense, especially with James Daniels being gone. I mean, you got your center that was going to be.
Has that been reported?
Mark Morehouse reported that.
Okay.
And I probably maybe should wait until that's confirmed, but Morehouse is a pretty solid source.
Yeah, yes, yep.
If that's the case, and you're starting, I think, a freshman there, because they're not going to slide Sean Walsh over, so you're looking at a hole there in the middle of your offensive line that. Pushing around the Miami of Ohio defensive line is not going to be the same as this Iowa State defense.
Because that is right where DeMond Tucker is.
Exactly.
And DeMond Tucker did give Iowa some fits last year before he got hurt in that game.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, that is – I mean, for an Iowa State fan, that is something they can look at as far as exposing.
Right. CJ, I think, will probably – if there's, like, one difference maker, it's CJ again. He'll make a few plays that will yep. shock us, I think. And not shock us, but just, you know, be kind of those awe moments.
Yep.
And I think the Hawkeyes probably still win. But, man, if you're talking about the spread – I'd put it up on Iowa State all day because offensively, that matchup with Lazard and King, if that happens, so let's take both sides of this. If it happens and you've got Lazard matched up on King all day, King's still going to be giving him a cushion. Lazard's still got a bunch of inches on him.
Yep.
They know they're not going to have a lot of time for Lanning to drop back and sit around, get 4 or 5 seconds to throw. So you're going to see quick options
yep.
going towards Lazard, who's got good hands and is a big target. So they're going to get the ball into his hands,
yep.
even if King is on him. If King's not on him, then it's a moot point because they're going to throw his way a lot. If you got Lazard on Maben, you got Lazard on
yep.
Josh Jackson in the slot, something like that, that's obviously going to be your first option. And even if you go back to scenario A, King is locking down Lazard. The Cyclone receiving core, I like DeAndre Daly's chances against Maben
mm-hmm.
and in the slot against Jackson. So I think that you've got some – options offensively. Don't look at Mike Warren's game last week as any indication of how the season is going to go.
Yeah.
Week ones are always weird, and you've got a couple of guys that are gurus in turning this offensive line and turning offensive linemen around. So give this some time. You're going to see a lot of improvement between week one and week two. The Hawkeyes are really, really talented defensively, and they are going to be able to throw a lot of things that they didn't do last week against Miami of Ohio. So this is not a dumb coaching staff. I think too much might be being made of that last point that Iowa didn't do a lot last week. Matt Campbell and his staff are not dumb enough that they looked at the Miami of Ohio game and said, okay, this is what a Ferentz team is.
Yeah.
They know, and we all know what that's going to be. So, man, maybe I'm being pessimistic, I'm being worried as a Hawkeye fan, but we all know, man, all these cliches. These games play tighter than they're supposed to be played. Iowa State always seems to overachieve the expectations coming into this game, and Iowa seems to somehow either play to that level or underachieve the expectations. And
did you hear the statistic we were talking about earlier that the last two times the Hawks have been favored by more than 2 touchdowns, they've lost the game?
And now, there's a couple of weird things about this, right? The last two times that Iowa State lost to UNI, they then came back and beat the Hawkeyes on the other side of
Gene Chizik, and then 2 years ago, 20-17.
I honestly will have to trust everybody on this stuff because I block that stuff out of my brain.
It's, yep.
So I believe that it happened, and those are all things to that I think play on to that point of just throw all that stuff out when it's this game. There's just too much at stake. And for the first time in my life that I can remember, Mark, you agree the same way. You have that same reference. I don't ever remember the players or coaches beforehand, especially on the Iowa side, acknowledging that this is a bigger game to them also. And LaShawn Daniels kind of pointed that out earlier this week, and I'm not sure if that got into a lot of Iowa State circles, but no. He did mention that the dudes in the locker room, this game does mean more to them. And I'm glad to hear them finally acknowledge that because it gets a little tiresome to have you bleed with your friends over this game, and then you hear on Thursday or Friday the coaches come out and go, well, this is just another game.
That's always been coach speak.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right.
I think it's lopsided, though, man. Because Iowa's typically, historically the better football team. You know, they typically finish with a better record than us. For how many years in a row did they win in this series? 15-plus years, and they kicked our butts.
It's always seemed to me like Iowa
players don't really want to say that it's a big deal because they're playing little brother or whatever,
whatever
Iowa fans want to say.
Right, exactly right.
You know?
Exactly right.
So it's felt like a kind of a lopsided argument, but Iowa State does seem to play more focused over there, at least as of late.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the Colons to cover. I mean, 15.5, that's a lot of points in this series.
That's a lot of points. Iowa didn't cover against Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. So Gray's putting his life savings into it, he told me.
I like the over-under a lot more than I like the spread. I mean, I like Iowa State to cover the spread. But the over-under, we just looked it up, 53.5.
Does that surprise you as well?
Oh, that's crazy high. That's crazy high.
In every year, I bet the under. In every year, it hits. The only year I think it didn't hit, and people can go back and look and make sure I could be wrong, was a triple overtime game.
Yeah, and that's one game I really remember because we were in Arizona for a wedding, and I watched it at a Buffalo Wild Wings with a bunch of dudes that were Cyclone fans.
Yeah.
Last year covered. Before that was 2017 covered. 9-6 covered. I mean, obviously.
The under. So, well, I mean, that's why they play the game. You never know.
So when Chris talks about that friend of his that gambles, it must be the two of you. I can at least put a face to the name. That's nice.
I don't do those season bets, though. They're always talking about the season win totals. I don't like bets where you have to wait 5 months to figure out if you want to get paid or whatever. I'm not a big fan of that.
Did Chris convince you guys to put money down on the Kansas over-under win total? Because you might find out you might be able to cash in that ticket
this week,
Saturday afternoon.
I'm also wondering, too, I've literally never done it. If you're in Vegas and you're doing it legitimately, when can you claim it? Because, hypothetically speaking, you get two wins, you beat the 1.5 over, right? But then, like, 4 weeks down the road, then, like, the wins are vacated or, something weird could happen.
I would imagine you can claim it because I can't imagine that Vegas can go back and claim those, tickets from USC's vacated wins and Penn State's vacated wins. Like, there's got to be – I would imagine your statute of limitations, if that's a thing in betting, is a few hours.
But yeah. I don't think you can actually claim the ticket until the end of the year, though, can you?
I have no idea.
That's my guess. My guess is you can't claim it early. So, hence why you got to wait the 4-plus months.
I don't play a gambling novice on the radio. I am a gambling novice. I just am not.
How does somebody that's so into sports not ever want to gamble on it? That's interesting to me.
I hate losing, Mark. I still owe Chris from the – we made bets last year on all these games, right? And we would be like, oh, we're going to bet beer and all. I know I've dropped an F-bomb on this before. I won't. I hate losing.
Yeah,
and, like, it stings me.
Yep.
Did you ever pay up on the basketball bet?
No, see, I bought him beer, but he didn't. We were talking about it the other day because there was something with the sandwich board, and we were going to try to do that today where I was going to wear a sandwich board that said, I was dumb enough to bet on the Cyclone, just something like that. But it didn't come to fruition. But I bought him
shocking
some.
Shocking
at
Williams.
Well, Williams has a history of not paying up
on his
bets.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
He's kind of been giving me the runaround. I'm guilty of that. Again, man, it's just. Paying up is a reminder that I lost something, and I'm just very absent-minded. When I say I live in the moment, like, I will forget things, between here and walking over to Gray's.
So let me ask you this, because you weren't here when we were talking about this. So we have this season-long bet going on here, speaking of bets. And so we each pick three games each week.
Okay,
and
yeah, I've heard about this. Let's talk about it.
And the loser, so the winner gets to pick a drink for the loser, a shot of something. Now, keep in mind, the shot can be anything that's drinkable. We eliminated a couple things. It can't be like poo-poo or pee-pee.
Yeah, I see.
None of that stuff. But it doesn't have to be alcohol either. It can be kind of anything. It could be, mayo combined with vinegar and pickle juice and, like, whatever. The point is, it's got to be bad, right? So I asked around, and I had several people. And Chris has already said he'd do this, right? My question to you is, where would you draw the line on a bet? So as of now, Chris is scheduled next week to drink a little breast milk. Would you the look on Ross's face on the lot here?
Chris, I can get you some of that if you guys are in low supply.
Well, no, I got plenty in my house.
Yeah, you
too,
do too.
Man.
That's right, my friend.
I got plenty in my house. So the question is: one, would you do that? And two, where's the line for Ross Peterson?
You know, I don't have any tattoos. I don't have any piercings. Never have, and never will. I mean, I don't envision. I shouldn't say never.
Yep.
So I don't think I would gamble a tattoo like I've known Williams to do. Drinking stuff I'd be all right with. Like a breast milk thing, I'd be all right with that. Where's the line? I would say doing something to my body. If it's like a truth or dare type of dare,
yep.
Doing something to somebody else, I'm not real big on that.
Yep.
But, boy, I'd shave my head.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'd wear stupid clothes. Like, I'm not too, I don't know. I'd do a lot of things, I guess. I'm not sure where my line is, Mark.
So you're, I consider you, even though I know where you live now, like, let's just say East Side. Sider.
I went to East is about the, yeah.
That's what okay. I mean by that. So I assume the people that you hung with don't take too kindly to people that renege on their bets. Like, if you make a bet, you better be paying up, right?
Yeah, yeah. See, the big with us is, like, physical challenges. So my friends... we had a fantasy draft last week, and if you nominated somebody for the auction that had already been drafted, the penalty was push-ups.
Okay.
And then the number of times that you did it added to, you know, the first time you did it was 5 push-ups, second time it was like 10 or whatever it was. That's a big thing, like, with my buddies on the golf course or whatever. If you line up for a putt, it's like, and I don't know where that comes from. I mean, a lot of my friends are wrestlers and kind of, so grab ass and, like, you know, horsing with guys, that's physical stuff is a big part of my my group of friends. So that's more of what the type of stuff we do. And all of us are poor. I mean, we're poor East Siders, so none of us have money to gamble.
Well, there's my problem right there. And I'm just like, throw some money at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't have money to throw at the problem.
We don't have charter cash.
You got to get creative. We don't have charter cheddar.
Yeah.
Charter cheddar.
That's a new one. Can I – I'm going to hashtag that one later. Yeah. Charter cheddar. So you're going on record, Ross Peterson, as a big Hawk fan, that the Cyclones dominate and win the game tomorrow?
Absolutely not.
Oh, wait, I didn't hear you right.
I've already tweeted this out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll get me in a lot of
– So you're predicting – I assume you're predicting Iowa win.
I predict an Iowa win. I think 17-10 is probably a fair – you know, maybe a 17-7 that's that range that I would be in. What's the spread? You said 15?
16 and a half.
Dude, so even 21-7, you're cashing in in a winning ticket?
Yep.
That game, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be more than a 2-touchdown game.
The two times in which it's been a big blowout lately was Rhodes' first 2 years. Iowa State lost 35-3, 35-7. The 35-3 game, Iowa State had 6 turnovers, which led to it. In the next game, I think they had 4 turnovers, which led to that. So as long as Iowa State doesn't have this colossal turnover thing, I think it's going to be something you see inside the spread.
And that's something I probably should have thrown in my long analysis that I ran. But turnovers is going to be a huge part of this. And I think if you're an Iowa State fan, like, that's the one stat to – so to keep an eye on more than penalties, which was a shocking stat half last week.
If you were forced to pick, though, would you choose the over under bet for the game or the spread bet for the game?
Oh boy, I can't. I would just parlay them.
Both. You like them both?
Yeah, put them together because I think both of those are the under is almost a guarantee. I think though, if you told me I can only take one, I'm taking the under because there's a way that game 2 touchdowns and a field goal flies into the end. Hell, 2 touchdowns and a safety. You block a punt and haul it in, you're up 21. So
even if you see a blowout like we saw, 35-3, 35-7, that's still under by a lot. Yeah, by a lot.
What do they know we don't know, Mark?
That's what I always ask myself.
They do it every year,
time.
And I take this bet every single year.
It seems like everybody goes back, if you remember, the Drake-Iowa State basketball game with Pfizer on the team, I think.
No, it was with Royce White.
Royce White. Iowa State was favored by 2 or something like that at Drake, and everybody was on Iowa State saying, this is the lock of the century, and then Drake wins the game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The question there was, what did Vegas know before that game?
Yeah, right.
So it feels that way, too, because this rarely does the score get this high.
Are you accusing Royce White of throwing the game, Charter?
I don't know, man. I did accuse Tinsley of throwing it way back when we lost
to Hampton.
Yeah. That one seemed like a thrown game.
No, I mean, pretty much.
I had a discussion today in the office about throwing games. And so just point of clarification, throwing games and point shaving.
Yeah.
Two different things. Probably talking about point shaving.
Point shaving.
Yeah, right.
Although in Iowa State's case, you could say they threw the game because they lost. In that Tinsley case, they actually lost the game. I don't know what the spread was, but the spread had to be a lot.
It was like 15.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know, though. Somebody somewhere is betting big money on, like, a money line or something like that.
I thought of you yesterday with the story that we had on Fanatics. A story that came out of the MGM sports books. Oh, boy. I wish I could remember the number on this, Mark. Over 1,000 individual bets have been placed at this one sports book for the Browns to win the Super Bowl. This is not a poop joke.
Huh.
And one of them is a $1,000 bet at 150 to 1.
Probably something
like that.
And one's
a $500 bet at 200 to 1.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that there are people that have, you know, they're not Eastsiders that have to do push-ups for bets. These guys have money that they can kind of toss around.
Yep.
What? That you're just throwing your money. There's no way the Browns. Their odds of having the first pick in next year's draft are much greater than them having.
I agree. There's no chance for them to win the Super Bowl. But every time you say no chance, I'm reminded of, and I'm not a soccer guy, but there was just something like a month ago, right?
Well, Leicester City was a 50,000 to 1, 5,000 to 1 underdog,
and they won.
You understand soccer? This team was a championship league team. They weren't even in the Premier League. They were a AAA organization just a few years ago. Earned their way to be in play with the big boys. They should have been a bottom feeder and been relegated at the end of the year. They won the whole blanking thing. And
I don't know.
And now they're – and changed that club forever. In the 25 years
of Premier League. Did people bet on it? Were there some bets that were placed on that?
Oh, yeah, there were.
Nobody was putting 500, not that I know of. I mean, but there were guys that put bets on it, absolutely. Yeah. And it was 5,000 to 1, I think.
Yeah, so you didn't have to bet a lot to win a lot.
No, in that case. That's an East Side bet right there. Give me a $2 ticket on a 5,000
It's hard to find 5,000 to 1 on many things out there, that's for sure.
It's really hard to find a 5,000 to 1 that has any chance of coming.
Are you guys big Office fans? The show, The Office?
Oh, yeah, I love The Office.
Kevin, he always says, if anybody ever gives you 10,000 to 1 odds, you take it no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, if John Cougar Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar, it's going to be a really good day.
It's worth playing a buck, right? 10,000 to 1?
Right. I'm with you.
Throw a buck down there. Well, is it time to go, Gray?
We're about 43 minutes, so.
We're going to hope, Ross, that this actually gets out there because Gray's actually handling it for the first time. So
I think it'll get out. You'll be fine, now.
Dude. You'll be fine. Your Adobe file's going just good. I can teach you, show you how to save that, and then once you save it, it'll work fine.
I mean, if I can't do this, I'm just an idiot.
So tune in next week when Chris will be, in fact, I'm going to say probably drinking breast milk. Maybe. It might change. But
why would it change?
What's the bet that you didn't tell me that book?
Oh, no, just picks. So the winner of the picks each week.
So every week you guys come up with a new challenge.
No, it's the same thing. It's
so
a drink, but it can be.
Three games based on the spread plus a tiebreaker. You predict the score, Iowa State score.
Okay.
Williams and I both went 1-2 last week. Not very good, but I beat him on the tiebreaker. So he's got to do the drink. And the shot is, that changes every week.
That's what I'm saying. The challenge,
the drink changes every week.
What was it last week?
This is the first week.
So, oh, duh.
Yeah, this is the first week, so we don't know what it's going to be. But the winner gets to pick it. So,
and you were the winner?
I was the winner.
And you chose breast milk? Because you have it in ample supply.
Other people have chosen it. Seems to be the popular choice, so I'm willing to listen to people.
Does it freak you out at all that Williams is going to be drinking your wife's breast milk? Here's why.
If he drank it from the tap, yes.
He's either going to give you the daddy likey.
He will for sure.
Or that creepy growl thing that he does.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of creepy things he does.
Dude, how am I always the one that gets painted as like the weirdo and the jerk? And this dude says the meanest things to people. Man, it's incredible.
It is incredible.
In our book, you're the nice one of the two.
I mean this, guy. I love coming on this. You guys, this is fun to do. I like it.
We'll have to come up with a challenge for you next time. We can give you something to do. Do
figure
some push-ups.
Something out. Yeah, I'll do whatever. Like I said, there's not a lot of lines. Just don't brand me or anything like that. See, what it, real
fair
quick,
enough.
The shot, and this mix this in at some point during the year. You know about Malort.
Mm-mm.
You don't know Malort? Does Malort mean anything to you?
Nothing.
Oh, dude, this is like a Chicago prank. So Malort is a liquor that I think was made in the Chicago area, and it is awful. It is horrible to drink. But it got this like cult following as a joke to do to visitors. So bartenders will keep a bottle of Malort, and if people show up and say, "Give me something Chicago," they'll give them a shot of Malort. We were just there for a bachelor party a couple weeks ago, and a friend of ours works in the suites at Wrigley.
Yep.
He joined us after the game got rained out, and he bought a round for the entire bachelor party.
Yep.
Well, we didn't know until we took the shot it was Malort. So if you can square that away, and I can promise you one of the – because I know you guys got a lot of listeners. I can promise you some of your listeners right now are like, oh, my
God.
They threw up in their mouth a little bit. It's horrible.
Can you describe the taste a little bit?
Like really sour and bitter. Man, what can I think of that's that nasty? Like, if your dog peed on your hardwood floors and you could chew on that somehow. I think that's about the closest. Not that I've done that, but I imagine if I took out a chunk of pee-soaked wood floor.
I was very descriptive.
I was picturing, when you were describing it, I was picturing underwear sweat. Like wringing out a pair of the tighty whities into a shot glass.
Ugh.
Here's some Malort for you.
Like dirty sock is another one that you'd say you might
think nasty,
of.
Nasty. Well, I'm excited to win some more weeks this year and get Gray to drink some stuff that's kind of ridiculous.
I'm guessing this will be your only win. Last year you didn't do very well.
Yeah, so, I started 1-0, which is the way to start. Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited. So, good game tomorrow
always,
night.
You always got that win under your belt, man. You can always talk trash about that.
So, people, if they want to hear you tomorrow talking about the Cyclone victory, they can tune into Sound Off after the game.
If Iowa State wins, that is going to be the most listened to radio program in the state in the year.
How long do you guys go on that show?
We actually get, like, carte blanche on these night game, post games. We can go on. We can go up to Mike Dorworth, the program director for WHO, told me today we can go to 130, 145 range.
You're not even starting until at least 10.
Oh, so. Probably later than that, maybe close to 11. But
you'll be on for 2.5 hours?
Dude, that flies by with as many calls as you get, and you just have so much stuff to talk about. You've taken notes the entire game, so you have so many like pluses and minuses that – you can break down individually. It's.
And where do you do the show from? Do you do it from KXNO?
We will do a pregame show tomorrow from 2 to 4:30 at Jethro's Bacon and Bacon in West Des Moines.
Yeah.
And then we'll drive to the station and watch the game in the studio, record our highlights. So we listen to the game and watch it at the same time and record our highlights, same way you're doing it with Adobe here.
Yep.
Cut those up, and then we can use those throughout the game. And the hardest part is when the game gets over, they have a Learfield postgame show, which is dreadful. And it lasts like an hour, hour and a half. And sitting through that and trying to keep your energy for
and
like
waiting.
The curtain to go up and, hey, we're sounding off.
What right I love now. About you
especially
is
that, late games like this.
Right. I love that you love your job because as much as you are a Hawk fan as a radio guy, like I know that you enjoy your show more when they lose because it's just more entertaining.
There's no doubt about it. And
is that true? You do enjoy it more when they lose? As far
the
as the
radio show?
The show. No, I know.
It's a different dynamic for you guys.
The radio show. Yeah, absolutely. The radio show is more entertaining for everybody.
What's the craziest call you've ever gotten? Like, what is one call that stands out? I mean, you got, like, Feinbaum-like callers coming in?
Dude, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. One that we kind of played with last year, but it was, at the time, it was one of the goofiest phone calls we'd ever had. After they won week one last year, a guy called in. His name was Bob, and he said, this is the best Hawkeye team I've ever seen in my life. I've been going to Hawkeye games for 45 years. This is the best team I've ever seen. This team is going 12-0. I'm not kidding. Yeah. And we clowned the guy. You know, it was like, man.
Well, he was obviously kidding, though.
He was obviously kidding. He was very drunk, which played into it a part. But we hung, you know, when we let the guy go, it was like, man, don't be that Hawkeye fan.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy
yeah.
that's going to your Cyclone friends tomorrow and saying, yeah, because we beat up some team, we're going to smoke everybody. And then every week, Bob would call back in.
I
told you this was the best team I'd ever seen. And there he called in when he was sober. He called in when he was drunk. And it turned out to be a great call. We kind of called him Bob Stradamus. We didn't hear from him last week, so I don't know if he's bailed on us or not.
He's not happy about this team. He doesn't like this team.
He didn't call in to say they were the greatest Hawkeye team he'd ever seen.
He's off the wagon.
High bar now.
All right, boys. I talked to you a lot. This thing's constantly fritzing in my ears. Any last takes, Gray, for the game tomorrow?
No, I'm excited. I just want to see how Iowa State rebounds. I mean, they can't play much worse. Even if they play better, I don't necessarily think it means a win.
Yep.
But I think they can still – I think there can be positives for this coaching staff moving forward where they can get the fan base on saying, okay, I see where they're going with what they're doing.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see it.
I'm glad that Cyclone fans didn't overreact to that loss to you and I. I mean, you guys are a pretty grounded lot as it is.
Let's just say that we're used to it.
That's
a good way to look at it. Give this guy some time. As an outsider looking in, I think you got a really good thing here. Don't react too much to this entire season.
Personally, I'm glad I have the Chicago Cubs this year. Yeah. But anyway, go Clones. Thanks, Ross Peterson.
You bet. Thank you, guys.